Hey Neely, thanks so much for being on the show.
Of course, glad to be here.
I'm going to ask you a couple of quick rapid fire questions.
Sure.
Can you tell us what would you do if you were the governor for one day?
That's an interesting question. I think what I would do if I were governor for one day, it may, of course, that would depend on what was going on in my state, but one of my issues that is very important to me is substance abuse, and I would do everything that I could do to provide the medication and counseling that people needed for substance abuse and provide substance abuse services.
If you had to change one rule in the state government processes, what would it be?
If I had to change one rule, it would be, I think, a day of unity. I don't know if I would change a rule, but I would try to have a rule where people would come together or create a holiday within my state that people could come and celebrate their diversity and their contribution to the state. And I think I would have a holiday celebrating the unity of the citizens of the state.
Nice. And what, in your opinion, is the one skill every lobbyist should have?
I think a genuine interest in doing good for people. I think putting people first is very, very important. I think being articulate and also being kind and patient as you work through the process.
And do you think that skill can be developed?
Pardon me, would you repeat the question?
Do you think that skill can be developed, or is that something which has to be innate in you?
Well, I think it can be, it certainly can be taught, but I do think the job will come easier if it is innate and comes natural to you. But I like to think that people can change and people can also hone and kind of get their skills and build their skills as they learn more about the business.
And if you had to define a lobbyist in one sentence, how would you define it?
Advisor. I would say we're advisors.
Advisors to.
Advisors to the people in which we represent and to the people who are elected or appointed and serving in our governments,
Okay.
local and state governments.
Makes sense. Do you have any role models in life?
Yes, I think everybody does. And I would look at my role models as also being people who my father, I would think, is certainly a role model for me. There are other people that I've learned from in this business that names probably there are not household names, people who are not discussed regularly, but certainly have had an impact in my life, teachers and sometimes neighbors, and those words of encouragement that I get from people that I really grew up with, family and friends.
What is the one thing you would like to share which very few people know about you?
That I wish that I sometimes am a people pleaser, and sometimes I wish I actually knew more. I try to learn. I'm a avid reader. A lot of people don't know that. And I think I wish I had more patience.
Well, you certainly don't look like someone who doesn't have patience. And
Wish I had more.
the books behind you on the wall, Yeah, it tells us that you are an avid reader too. So,
Mm-hmm.
what is the hardest part about your job?
I would say the hardest part about the job is I think you have to be well organized. I think being well organized is not really something that comes natural to me. I have to work at every day. And I think that there's also I think technology goes along with helping or assisting with that. I wish I was a little bit stronger in those areas as well. So I think it depends on who the person is, but I think being well organized will certainly help you because you certainly have to multitask quite a bit as being a lobbyist.
What is the best advice you've ever received?
To work hard and to have a strong work ethic in this business, there's always going to be people that are going to be smarter than you, that know more than you, that'll be well organized. But the one thing that you can control, the best advice I've ever had is to control your controllables, is to make sure that you have a strong work ethic and really throw yourself into your work and be the best you can be at whatever issue you're trying to convey or get people to understand.
And what was the most momentous thing in your life or in your career?
I would say having the opportunity to be able to do some work for some disabled children, I think meant very much to me. That touched me personally. I think I was able to make a difference and at least pointing their families in the right direction to be able to get the care that they needed.
And if you had an opportunity to have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would those be?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I'm going to, given my background at Abilene Christian University, I think of course they would be in the category of within my faith. So I would say, of course, Christ. I would say also Saint Peter and Saint Paul.
Nice. And if you had a time capsule to go back in time to any era, which era would you pick?
That's an interesting question also for me because I don't think I'd ever want to go back to any era.
It's a good answer,
I
though.
think the better days for someone like me are certainly ahead of me. But to answer your question, I don't mean to dodge it, but to answer your question, I would have to say, boy, we have such a violent past in our world. It really doesn't even matter where you've lived at that time, but I think I'm gonna pass on this one and say yesterday.
Brilliant answer. Well, the last question I had for you in this rapid fire is, so if you had all the money in the world, what would you do with it?
I would do everything I could to feed people. I think that's a basic thing that we should be trying to provide for one another. I mean, it's just, with the great, all of the great blessings that this world has had and the garden that we've been given, it just seems to me, it's just hard for me to imagine that we can't provide the food for those who are starving, whether that would be in this country or abroad.
Yeah, good answer. So with that, I jump over into your past. Can you tell us a little bit about where did you grow up, and how was your childhood like?
I think everyone looks back on their childhood with some regret, but I had a pretty good childhood. I grew up in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, so I'm a central Pennsylvanian. My grandmother, my father, my grandmother, and all were from this area. Went to private schools, both high school and college. And I got into this business, almost fell into it because I always had a great deal of interest for the government, but I didn't realize that my career would specifically go into healthcare. So I used to work in Harrisburg in the state legislature as a staff person and really cut my teeth there and began to learn about healthcare and a lot of the issues that were being debated in the General Assembly around around healthcare, private and public insurance. So that immediately drew my interest, and I thought it was a lot of fun, very interesting. Everything was changing at that time, so I really began, taking it upon myself to learn more about the healthcare industry.
And so you grew up in Pennsylvania, and where did you go to college?
Abilene Christian University in West Texas.
Okay. And what was the major in?
Political science.
Okay. So did you know when you were a child that you had a passion towards politics?
I did. I was interested in it as a child. And I thought it was, let me broaden that out for a moment. It wasn't so much politics as much as it was social science. So I loved geography and the social sciences and studying the various cultures and world history. So that was a natural evolution for me to go into that particular area in liberal arts.
I see. And did you like doing political science?
I did. Okay. I did. It's quite a bit of writing. But I enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed the people that I went to school with. Many of us went on to very different careers. Some of us ended up being FBI agents, some attorneys, and others working as staff. But all of us kind of stayed in that same area of government relations.
And what was your first job out of college?
I was working for a health insurance company.
As a?
Just as a person who was adjusting claims.
Oh, okay. And so you did that. And what happened after that? What was your progression into government relations? I mean, like, when did you step into this field?
Well, I heard about their government relations department at that health insurance company. So that immediately drew my interest. So I started to find out actually what they did and reading legislation and analyzing bills on behalf of the company. So I went to Harrisburg, gained some a network there, and started working on a lot of those issues. And, you know, finally went back to the private sector and began working at a small lobbying firm representing some of the healthcare clients at that firm.
And so looking back to, your past, do you say that your first step where you got into political science, do you recommend that for anyone who wants to get into government relations?
I do. I do. I think that I would love for more young people to get involved. I think it's a great profession. Every day there's something new. I think there's something noble in it if you're in it to help people and provide service. You're doing it from a, from a private sector, but you still have an important role to help develop and advise our elected officials in coming up with policy that I think is going to be, in a lot of cases, bipartisan, but also meets the people's needs.
And do you have any favorite policy which you've worked on, which you would like to highlight?
That's difficult. I like them all very, very much. I love our programs here in the United States that are really work as safety nets for people. I love our Medicare programs, our Medicaid programs, what they do for people. I love our benefit programs for children. So I think they do a lot of good for people and for families that really need a helping hand, and those who are especially dealing with children that have disabilities. So I think all of our programs, I think really do a lot of good for a lot of people. And I think that just in general as society, I'm just very grateful for, all of us putting our taxpayers' dollars together to help those who are in need.
And is there any situation where you are impressed with your fellow lobbyists that you would like to emulate?
Sure. I love the lobbyists that I would love to emulate. A lot of them that work for nonprofits and associations in healthcare. I think they're very committed. They provide a lot of passion. I think they are really at the grassroots and really understand the people whom they are representing and what their needs are. So, whether you're talking about those who are representing community providers or pharmacists or drug and alcohol programs, I mean, those are the lobbyists really who are I have just a great deal of respect for and want to emulate their commitment to their and their passion to their issues.
So, in your entire illustrious career, right, there would have been a lot of good, positive outcomes to what work you've done. Were there any mistakes or stepping stones, as I would call them, which you came out of it like learning something out of it? Can you tell us anything like
Oh,
that?
yeah. I've always learned. I mean, every day I wouldn't describe them so much as mistakes as they would be, as they would be things that didn't turn out quite the way you thought that they would turn out.
Right.
That's really how things operate in this business. You can never be certain. Because you are a part of a larger enterprise and trying to work on an issue, and a lot of times you're building coalitions and there's multiple people that are involved. So not so much mistakes, but it would be something that didn't quite work out the way you wanted it to. So what I do in situations like that is you have to change. You have to change your approach, or you have to change how you're thinking about a particular issue. There's so many times that that happens. I mean, it's just a conversation that you might have. You may get some intelligence that wasn't quite accurate. So you're trying to look and see where you can pivot to get some reliable information that would allow you to build a strategy, or at least refine your point that you're trying to make, and who the people are you're trying to reach. So that typically happens in the business. It's not so much of a mistake. It's just, time to turn and go into a different direction.
And do you have any advice for anyone who's getting started in government relations? What are the do's and don'ts?
Don't get into this business if you're not passionate about the work that you're doing, because it will show. And I think if you're not committed toward your issue, your authenticity becomes a barrier for you, and it's much more difficult to convey your opinion to someone else. And one of the do's I would say is, which would be the opposite of that, but also Refine your skills in the way you're communicating, in the way you're writing. Spend a lot of time with people learning. Never take yourself too seriously, but also at the same time, do your homework. Be prepared. You never know who you're going to talk to. It could be someone who's an expert in that particular area. They have to understand, or they may not be. So there, you're going to have to really have an intelligent conversation with someone. And there's nothing better than having practiced with yourself and doing everything you can to try to learn as much as you can.
Good piece of advice, Neely. The last segment is essentially for you to talk anything other about your future. Where do you see yourself down the line? Or anything which I might have missed out asking you questions on? It's all open to you.
No, I don't think so. I'm getting up there in age now as an older lobbyist. I think what I'd like to do is continue to work and get better, learn more about the issues in which I'm representing. Also, spend more time doing the things that I like to do. That would be travel or some of the hobbies that I have, but I try to keep my life, my work and life, personal life balance, in balance without it being, one taking over the other. But I think that, for my future, I think it's just more at this point, getting better than where I'm at today.
And do you have any favorite travel destination?
I do. I love the United States and I love the West Coast. I love California.
Oh, okay, good. Perfect. Good answer. Well, with that, Neely, I just wanted to say thank you so much. It's such an honor to have you on the show. Thanks again for being here.
Of course.